Title: Cassette Degraded Pad Design from Clean Chords Advanced. Alright, let's build one of those drum and bass pads that feels gorgeous and emotional, but also kind of haunted, like it's been living on a cassette for 10 years, getting replayed, slightly chewed up, slightly wobbly but still musical, still controlled, and most importantly, it sits in a rolling DNB mix without fighting your sub or your drums. The big mindset for this lesson is simple: start clean and harmonically strong, then degrade with intention. Not random lo-fi on everything, but specific, layered imperfections, wow, flutter, saturation, noise, band limiting, a bit of smear, and then proper mix discipline like high-pass filtering and sidechain. We'll do this using Ableton stock devices, with a resampling workflow at the end that makes it way more believable. Step A. Write clean chords that actually work in drum and bass. Set your tempo somewhere around 172 to 176 BPM. For keys, F minor, G minor, A minor, those ranges tend to sit nicely with typical DNB bass design. Make an 8 or 16 bar MIDI clip, and think long chord voicings. One chord can last a bar or even two bars. You're writing atmosphere, not a piano performance. Here's a solid example progression in F minor you can copy if you want. First chord, Fm9, then Dbmaj9, then Eb6/9, then Cm9. If you don't know the exact notes, that's fine. The idea is extended chords that feel warm and slightly jazzy. Now humanize just a little. Add a light groove from the groove pool, something like MPC swing around 55 to 58, and keep the amount subtle. Or manually nudge the starts of a few chords, later by literally 5 to 15 milliseconds. That tiny late feel helps it feel like a performance, and it matters a lot once you start wobbling the pitch. One teacher note here: if your chords are messy or the voicings are clashing, degradation won't magically fix it. Cassette vibe is like a filter over a good photograph. Start with a good photograph. Step B. Build the clean pad synth. Drop in Waveitable. You can use analog too, but Waveitable is fast and controllable. For oscillator 1, choose basic shapes and lean toward sine or triangle. Set the position around 20-35% so it's rounded. For oscillator 2, also basic shapes, but more saw-ish, position around 60-80%. Detune it down an octave, minus 12 semitones, and keep its level low, like 10-25%. This gives body without turning it into a bright supersaw. Set voices to 6-8 and detune around 10-20. You want width, but not a trans cloud. Filter, LP24. Cut off somewhere around 1.2K to 2.5K. Resonance 10-20%, just enough to give it a gentle throat. Amp envelope, attack 80-200 milliseconds so it blooms. Decay 1.5 to 3 seconds, sustain down a bit, like minus 6 to minus 12 dB. Release 2 to 6 seconds so it trails off. Then add slow movement. Put an LFO on the filter cutoff at a tiny amount, like 3-8%. Rate super slow, 0.05 to 0.12 Hz. That's the kind of movement you feel more than you hear. This is the clean version. If you played this alone, it should sound stable, wide, and calm. Now we ruin it tastefully. Step C. Cassette instability, wow and flutter. Cassette character is basically two pitch behaviors layered together. Wow is slow drift. Flutter is fast micro wobble. The most controllable stock approach is shifter in pitch mode. Put shifter after Waveitable. Set it to pitch. Dry slash wet at 100%. Fine at 0 cents to start. If you have Max for live, put an LFO and map it to shifter fine. For wow, use a sine wave. Rate around 0.08 to 0.18 Hz. Amount about plus slash minus 6 to 12 cents. That's enough to feel alive, but not enough to make your chord root sound out of tune against a solid sub. For flutter, add a second LFO map to the same fine parameter. Rate around 5 to 8 Hz. Amount plus slash minus 1 to 3 cents. If you can add some randomness or use a random shape lightly, even better. Flutter shouldn't feel perfectly periodic. If you don't have Max for live, you can use Chorus Ensemble as a simpler option. Use Chorus Mode, rate around 0.15 to 0.35 Hz, amount 20 to 40%, width 120 to 200, and mix only 15 to 30%. It's not as real tape, but it gets you the smear and motion. Teacher warning: drum and bass exposes pitch problems fast. If you're thinking this is so vibey, and then you drop a sub and it suddenly sounds seasick, back the wow down. Sub plus unstable fundamentals equals instant amateur. And here's an advanced coach move: keep pitch chaos in the right place by splitting bands. Low band, up to roughly 250 to 400 Hz, should stay mostly stable. Mid band, 400HC to 3KHC, can take moderate wow and flutter. High band, above 3K, can take the most movement, because your ear hears that is texture, not wrong harmony. We'll come back to band splitting in the homework, but keep that concept in mind even if you stay on one chain. Step D. Tape style saturation and soft compression. Add saturator after the wobble stage. Turn on soft clip. Drive around 2 to 6 dB. Turn color on. Bass frequency somewhere like 300 to 800 Hz to bring forward that warm midrange. Then match the output so you're not just getting fooled by loudness. Dry slash wet can be 60 to 100%. Start full wet and pull it back if it gets too thick. Then add glue compressor after saturator. Attack 3 milliseconds, release on auto, ratio 2:1. Bring the threshold down until you're getting about 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on chord peaks. Turn on soft clip and glue lightly. The job here is not to crush it. The job is to make it feel printed, like the pad is one unified thing rather than a bunch of moving oscillators. Optional extra, if you hear little chord onset ticks poking through later, you can try drum bus very lightly on a pad. Yes. Drum bus on a pad. Tiny drive, transient slightly negative, mix low. It can round the front in a tapish way before the glue stage. Step E. Band limit like a set, and carve the pocket. Insert EQ8. High pass the pad somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz. In DNB, I usually start around 180 Hz as a default and then adjust depending on the bass. Use a steeper slope if your low end is busy. If you hear mud, dip gently around 250 to 500 Hz, then low pass around 6 to 12 kHz. That's your air loss, your cassette ceiling. If it disappears too much in the mix, you can add a small presence bump around 1 to 2 kHz, but be careful. That range can also mask snare crack and vocal presence. Now add auto filter after EQ if you want arrangement control. Use a low pass filter with a cutoff bass maybe 2 to 6 kHz. Map this to a macro later, because this is how you do intro nostalgia versus drop utility. Darker and foggier in the intro, slightly more open in the drop. Advanced mix tip. Use mid slash side EQ to keep width without haze. In EQ8, switch to M slash S mode later in the chain. High pass the sides higher, like 250 to 500 Hz, so your stereo width lives mostly above the low mids. Keep the mid controlled around 500 Hz to 2 kHz so you don't smother the snare. Step F. Add hiss and mechanical noise, but make it musical. Create an audio track name tape noise. Drop in a cassette hiss or vinyl noise sample. Filter it with auto filter. High pass around 2 to 4 kHz, low pass around 10 to 12 kHz. You're shaping it into believable tape hiss, not full spectrum static. Now make it breathe. Add a gate. You can set it so noise only comes up when the pad plays, or sidechain the gate input from the pad. Adjust threshold so the noise feels connected to the pad's envelope rather than constantly sitting there. Then add utility. Keep the noise pretty mono, with 0 to 60%. Tape machines feel centered, and keep the level low. Often this lives around minus 24 to minus 30 dB. Quiet enough that if you mute it, you miss it, but if it's on, you're not consciously listening to it. Quick calibration trick. Turn your monitoring down. If you can still clearly hear that his track as a separate layer is too loud, you want it to vanish into the vibe. Optional. Add redux on the noise only. Downsample 2 to 6, dry slash wet 5 to 15%. Just a hint of gritty mechanical texture. If you have Max for live, an even better move is envelope follower. Put it on the pad and map it to the noise utility gain with inverted mapping. So when the pad gets louder, noise ducks slightly, and when the pad releases, noise rises gently. That's extremely tape-like. Step G. Make it DNB ready with sidechain and low-end control. On the pad track, add compressor for sidechaining from the kick. Ratio 3:1. Attack 1 to 5 milliseconds. Release 80 to 160 milliseconds. Time the release so it grooves with a kick pattern. Lower threshold until you get about 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction. Rollers often want that breathing feel, but you decide how pumpy. Then manage the low stereo. Put utility and set bass mono around 120 to 180 Hz, or keep the lows mono via EQ and mid/side choices. The point is, wide low mids blur the groove and steal energy from the bass. Also remember an arrangement truth. In the drop, pads are often lower in level and more filtered. In intros and breakdowns, they can bloom. Step H. Resample for printed to tape authenticity. This is where it becomes convincing. Freeze and flatten the pad track, or resample it to audio on a new track. Now you've committed the instability and saturation into an audio file, like a real print. On the audio clip, Turn warp on. Set warp mode to texture. Grain size around 80 to 200. Flux around 10 to 30. Then automate these subtly over 16 bars. Subtle is the word. You're aiming for tiny time smear and fiber-like texture, not obvious glitching. Add vinyl distortion. Tracing model around 2 to 4. Pinch 0.5 to 2. Dry very low or 0. Dry slash wet 10 to 30%. Then reverb. Try reverb or hybrid reverb. Decay 3 to 8 seconds. Pre-delay 15 to 30 milliseconds. High cut 6 to 10 kHz, and wet around 10 to 25%, but don't let reverb do all the work. In fast tempos, long tails smear drums. A live pad wash is actually chorus density plus a short dark room, not a huge hall. Even better, put the reverb on a return track and EQ it. Before the reverb, high pass so you're not inflating low mids. After the reverb, low pass so the reverb doesn't step on cymbal air and snare snap. Then final EQ cleanup after the reverb stage. High pass 150 to 300 Hz and tame 2 to 5 kHz if it gets papery. Advanced print workflow. Commit in stages. Instead of one resample at the end, do two prints. Print number 1 after wobble, saturation, and main EQ. That's your core tone. Then add warp, noise system, and reverb, and print again. The realism comes from accumulation. Tiny artifact stacking is what feels like real tape passes. Step I. Build macros so this becomes an instrument you can play in the arrangement. Group your pad effects into an audio effect rack and create a few macros. Tape age. Map this to the EQ low pass cutoff. Vinyl distortion tracing and saturator drive. One knob that goes from kind of clean to archived and worn. Wobble. Map to your wow amount or chorus amount if you're doing the simpler method. Flutter. Map to the faster LFO amount. Noise level. Map to the noise utility gain. Space. Map to reverb dry slash wet and maybe reverb high cut. Pump. Map to your sidechain compressor threshold. Now you can automate the whole vibe like a producer, not like a technician. For example, in bars 1 to 8, go darker with more noise. In bars 9 to 16, open the filter a bit, reduce noise slightly, and tighten the pump so the drop is clearer. Some advanced arrangement ideas you can steal immediately. Make two versions of the pad. Intro version. Darker, wider, more noise, more space. Drop version. Higher high pass, less reverb. Stronger sidechain, slightly more mid-focus. Then crossfade between them across the build so the vibe stays consistent, but the mix gets tighter. You can also do hole punch automation. Instead of constant sidechain pumping, do quick volume dips only where the bass hits hardest. This audio version is shortened for playback.